Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2 and let's start in verse 1. And I'm going to read some lengthy passages today, because I'm going to refer to them. And I'm going to take you on a journey in just a moment. Are you ready? Say amen. I want to talk about, it's true. Christmas, it's true. How do you know the story of Christmas is true? Luke chapter 2 verse 1. And get your ink pen ready, because I'm going to highlight things you need to underline. In those days a decree, underline the word decree. It's one of the most hotly debated items in the Christmas story, because skeptics of the church say and have said to us for hundreds of years, aha, it's not true because there's no archaeological proof they've ever found a decree. Went out from Caesar of Augustus. Caesar of Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. Underline Caesar of Augustus, because that pinpoints a specific time in history. That the whole empire would be registered. Underline the word registered, which means that families had to leave their homes and go to where they were born, where they were living, and go to where they were born and register. While Quirinius, underline Quirinius, because that's hotly debated, because they said Quirinius, the Bible, Luke quotes the wrong Quirinius. Quirinius, there was another man named Quirinius that lived after the birth of Jesus Christ. And they said Luke has him confused with another Quirinius. All right? Was governing Syria, the same Syria you see where ISIS is ruling today. So everyone went to be registered in his own town where he was born. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth. Underline Nazareth. There is actually a book, and I encourage all of you to go on the internet and read this idiot. There's a book from an atheist who says, I know that the Bible isn't true because there is, and he uses the whole book to disprove that Nazareth ever existed. And he has 800 sources to prove Nazareth never existed. No one reads his book now except for laughter. In Galilee to Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea was the smallest known city in the known world 2,000 years ago. Nazareth had about 80 people during the time of Jesus Christ. Because he was of the house and the family lineage of David to be registered, there's that word again, along with Mary who was engaged to him. You have to understand something about engagement. In the Jewish cultures, when people became engaged, it was different than the way we do it here. I had the blessing of marrying a lot of you this summer. And in American culture and Western civilization, you get engaged, and if you get in a fight, you can break up. And sometimes you get the ring back, sometimes you don't. Depends on what mood Judge Judy is in that day. And she gave it back one time, and a couple times she didn't give it back. I don't really understand why. But anyway, in Jewish culture, you were not allowed to have sex until you were formally married, until you went under the chuppah and you broke the plates and the marriage was consummated under a chuppah. That is where you get the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Sukkot from. I don't have time to get into that, but here's the deal. You had to have a legal divorce if you were a Jew 2,000 years ago to become unengaged. It would take a legal divorce. So when you said you were engaged, it was legally binding, and you would have had to have filed for a divorce certificate because you could not break up an engagement spent back then. And then it says these famous words, who was pregnant. How many of you believe she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, like the Bible says? While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough. Not like this. I'm going to show you in a minute something different. Because there was no room for them in the inns. Now look at verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch overnight by flock. More than likely, Jesus was born around the beginning of the springtime, because shepherds did not stay out in the fields when it was cold weather. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. And that's an evangelism word, so that Christmas has to be connected. The nativity is connected to evangelism. And then he says, today a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, will be born to you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggling in cloth and lying in a manger. And then the angels begin to praise him. Hold Luke chapter 2 and go to Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 3, go to chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. I want to show you a story because Luke does not record this story. In Matthew chapter 2 it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, it says in the days of King Herod, so it names a specific person, wise men from the east. We know that wise men, number one, there were not three of them more than likely. By the second century, we knew that there were more than, there was at least three of them. They were named by name. There was probably around 12 to 21 of them, wise men. And we know they came from the east, and we know that they came somewhere between the peninsula and the end of China to the beginning of the Persian Empire, where India was at, or through the city of Babylon, which is modern-day Iran and Iraq, where the city of Babylon was at, because we know that there was a school that trained magicians, magi. We know they were astronomers. We know that they were they worked magic spells, and they looked at incantations, and that they studied the stars. And so we know that these wise men came. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Are you ready to go on a trip with me? Say amen. All right. Are you? Oh, half of you are ready. That's wonderful. How many of you are ready this morning? Watch your screens. Let's go on a trip. I'm not going to keep you long. Right there is Caesar of Augusta. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. He was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. We found all kinds of busts, writings from Caesar of Augusta. We know that he was a real human being. Someone say, check. Amen. Go to the next one. Right there is Quirinius. One of the most hotly debated stories about Christmas is that Quirinius was not in charge of a census. That was until we found his census. And you're actually looking at the census of Quirinius on an ancient rock dating back to the time of Jesus. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise, because the Bible is really that accurate. Go to the next one. We also have found multiple copies of censuses and registrations 2,000 years ago from the Egyptians and from the Romans. What we know is that the Romans, every 14 years, had a census where you had to go back to your home and you had to register for to pay taxes. So that's an actual copy of an Egyptian census that was taking place in 45 AD every 14 years. Go to the next one. There's another copy of one where they had to go and have a census and had to go back, like Luke 2 and 3 said, and to be registered. Go to the next one. Right there is the cave that Jesus Christ was born in. Jesus Christ was not born in a barn. He was born in a cave. As a matter of fact, the cave that you're looking at right now goes all the way back to 385 A.D., and it was the most revered spot for the first 400 years of Christianity. Now listen to me. Melito of Sardis in 160 A.D., Origen in 230 A.D., Alexander of Cappadocia in 360 A.D., Helena, the mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, at 326, all went back, ladies and gentlemen, to the places that, and they told the people of Jerusalem and the early Christians, show me where these things took place. And so as early as 160, the church started gathering historical information legally and formally to know where these things were taking place. And if you go to Jerusalem with me in March, I'm going to take you there. So that's the cave. We also know that that's the cave because the Roman Emperor Hadrian in 117 AD was actually fighting this place as a holy place, and he planted a grove of bushes for people to come and worship another god on top of that cave because he wanted to rebuke, and this is what an early church father said, the most holy site in Christianity. So there's all kinds of persecutions. When they found that cave, they actually took the remains of the cave and they found that all the way back, as far as you could go, enemies of Christianity would draw on that cave, and they would write curse words, and they would write derogatory terms about Christianity because that was a holy cave. Someone give God praise for being born in Bethlehem of Judea. What you also need to know is, everybody open your Bibles. Go to Micah chapter 5 verse 2 very quickly. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, the prophet Micah says 500 years before Jesus was born that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He names the smallest known city in the known world. And Micah, we have a copy of the book of Micah that is older than the time of Jesus. So we know that Micah didn't write it after Jesus was born. Micah didn't even exist at that time. And so Micah 5 and 2 actually prophesies Christmas and says Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Go to the next one. Watch this. You're looking at the Church of the Annunciation. Now listen to me carefully. How do you know, Pastor Michael, that these places are historically accurate? Because the early church, number one, in the first 300 years of Christianity, you could not name a church after a disciple or a famous person in Christianity like the Virgin Mary or Mark unless they had been there. So when you travel over these ancient ruins like I have, you will learn very quickly that if something's called the Church of the Virgin Mary in the first 300 years, she had to have been there. Or this Church of St. John. Or if you look at the huge church, the largest church in the world, that was the largest church in the world for 1,000 years, Hagia Sophia, Holy Wisdom, where the Holy Spirit was there, but they couldn't say anyone else is there. This is built over the boyhood or the girlhood home of Mary. And as early as the 3rd and 2nd century, they knew this is where Mary had lived. And this is where she heard from the angel that she was pregnant. Now go to the next one. I can't wait to show you this. Go to the next one. Do you know what you're looking at? You're looking at a 2,000-year-old stable for animals. Jesus was not born in a barn. He was born in a stable with animals because there was no room in the inn. This is 2,000 years old. This is not the stable, but this is a remains of a stable that's 2,000 years old in the Palestinian area. So Jesus was born in something that looked like that. Go to the next slide. Do you know what you're looking at? The Bible says Jesus was born in a manger, and this looks beautiful and it does great for props, but the truth is you're actually looking at a 2,000-year-old manger. To the left, my left, it's broken. You can see where it's broken. It's a box made of concrete. And so we know that when the Bible says something as simple, Moses, as and they laid him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, that the manger was really something that was real. Go to the next slide. Wait till you see what I'm about to show you. The Bible says that the wise men visited Jesus not at the Nativity, not at Bethlehem, but at his home in Nazareth. Jesus was 2 years old by the time the wise men showed up. It makes great Christmas plays. Can you imagine going to a Christmas play where 2 years later the wise men show up? It'd take forever. So as early as the 2nd century, they started celebrating Christmas on January the 6th. And the wise men showed up in that first play on January the 6th. But listen to what they found in Nazareth. Go to the next picture. They found his city, but they found a church called the Church of the Nutrition. And people and archaeologists says, why in the world would they call a church the Church of the Nutrition? What in the world does that mean? This was found in 2007. Go to the next picture. They found a first century home in Nazareth. Now, I'm praying that Journey sings at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb and Kenny Chesney. But you can trust me on this one for sure because I got Bible behind me. In 2007, digging, an archaeologist found a first century home in Nazareth. Nazareth had 80 people in it at that time, 80 families. It's very small. That is why they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You're looking at a home that's 2,000 years old. You see the hole to my left? That goes into a hallway where there is a window. Because of earthquakes and different things, it's at the bottom. Guess what's on top of this home? A church. Guess what the church is called? The Church of the Nutrition. And archaeologists within the last 2 years, because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out my name. And I'm going to take, if you go to Jerusalem with me, I'm going to show you this very home. I can't wait to see it. That, I want to see that as much as I want to see anything. Archaeologists that are Muslim, archaeologists that are Jewish, archaeologists that are atheists, archaeologists that are agnostic, all will tell you today that in all probability, as much as an archaeologist can say, this is for sure, you're looking at the boyhood home of Jesus Christ. The early church venerated this place all the way back when they started looking for history. And there are actually five churches built on top of this home going back to the second century, the first 100 years of Christianity. This is where the wise men met Jesus when he was 2 years old. When the wise men came, Jesus was 2 years old. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. That gets me excited. And Google it. Question anything I say. Go ahead, because I've studied this very hard. Herod the Great. The Bible mentions Herod the Great. Go to the next slide. There's his palace. Where did the wise men go when they went to Herod and said, we're looking for a star of the king of Israel? Right there. That's the actual place, the Herodian, that the wise men entered into. Go to the next slide. And that's the room. They've recently found the palace of King Herod in Herodian, in the Herodian. And what's unique is Herod built 20 different cities. That's why they called him, the first Herod, Herod the Great. As a matter of fact, he was so cruel and so mean that ancient Roman emperor said it would be better to be born a pig in Israel than to be the son of King Herod. That's how cruel he was. But you're looking at the place where we now believe that the wise men entered in, and Herod said a lie. He said, tell me when you find him so I can come and worship him. Give God a hand clap of praise for truth right there before your eyes. I want Christmas to come alive to you this year. Go to the next one. You're looking at the wise men. Go to the next one. Look at what you're looking at. You're looking at a burial ground of the oldest Christians in the world. It's a catacomb. And the catacomb that you're looking at has, in the second century, three wise men to my left. I want you to notice that the three wise men are standing in front, to my right, your left, a Virgin Mary holding a baby in her arms. So as early as the second century, which means the first 100 years of Christianity, and the Bible wasn't even the Bible to 326 AD, that they were painting the three wise men and revering them. Go to the next slide. And this is what I didn't know. I can't wait to show you this because I never knew this till I studied for this. That's the actual burial ground for where these three wise men are at. If you look in the middle of that picture, you can faintly see the three wise men. But let me tell you something that's amazing. If you were to go down in that picture on my left where there's a hole in the wall, there's a window, and there's a table there. And this is not in the Bible. I'm not saying it's a biblical practice, but I'm telling you early Christians would go into the tombs of loved ones that were Christians and they would have meals on top of the casket because they believed in life after death that much. Go to the next slide. This is what I didn't know. If you look to my left, you will see a line of women. Ladies, don't ever trust Dan Brown and the Da Vinci Code when you hear those movies. He's a great storyteller. He stinks as a historian. Because the church revered women. Jesus elevated the role of women. Look to the left, my left. Those are all women who were martyred for the faith in early Christianity. Look in the middle. After you see the women, you'll see three wise men. Look to my right, you'll see four angels with the Virgin Mary in the middle of it by the third and fourth century, where they are venerating the three wise men, martyrdom of Christianity, and the Virgin Mary and the baby Jesus. Now watch this. I never knew this. Go to the next slide. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at a third or fourth century artistic rendering of the three wise men. But this is amazing. Take a good look at their faces. This goes all the way back to the early days of Christianity. The problem with that picture is what? Can anybody tell me what the problem with this picture is? They're young. look at the man to my right. We know he's a representative of the Persian Empire because of the way he's dressed. We know he represents the kingdom of Babylon. Look at to my right and notice the thing he's pointing towards. It is an idol. It's idol worship. And in the first 200 years of Christianity, there were many stories written by early church fathers who took the church over after Acts 28. We know who they are. We have the writings. And so there was a story that developed that these three wise men were in the same line of lineage as Daniel chapter 3 with three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Because Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was what? They were Jews. Where were they taken to? They were taken to Babylon. Who's in Babylon? King Nebuchadnezzar. What did King Nebuchadnezzar do to people who hated his gods and his idols? He threw them into a fiery furnace. And so this is an ancient picture of the church that they painted because they didn't have social media. They told their stories this way. And so the three Hebrew children became known as images of the three wise men because the history says that the three wise men quite possibly experienced great persecution when they returned to the school of the Magi in Persia, and that they were threatened to be thrown into the fire had they not bowed to their knee to the idol. So these early Christians, these early wise men actually became born again Christians at the nativity and gave their life fully to Christ. Somebody say amen. Believing in him. Go to the next one in case you don't believe it. There's another one about 100 years later. And you'll see the Virgin Mary on the right and the three young wise men. Go to the next one. Now all of a sudden, take a good look at this. Look up to the right, my right. Notice the star in the corner. And notice how the three wise men are pointing towards the star, but the man that's on my far right is actually dressed in Persian garb, threatening to put him in a fiery furnace. Look to the left. Far left, look at the idol. Go to the next one. Same thing. They're pointing towards the star in front of Mary and Joseph, but this is fascinating. Everybody, go to the next one. Now, open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 24 very quickly. I'm closing. Go to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, and let me show you something that's absolutely fascinating. Anybody learning anything today? Because I want you to enjoy Christmas, but I want you to enjoy it the right way. Amen? Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Everybody go there. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the front of the book. Numbers 24. How many of you have read in the Bible about the God of Baal? Can I see your hands? Now let me show you something. Stop. Go to Numbers 24 and then let me tell you something. All right, listen to me. Everybody listening? How many of you know that the wise men studied the stars in astronomy and magic arts? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you know that they were from Persia in the school of the Magi? How many of you know that the Babylonians took Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 and said, tell me what the gods are saying? Nebuchadnezzar went to Daniel and said, show me what God is saying. And how many of you know Belshazzar and the different kings that Jewish men full of the Holy Ghost interpreted prophecy? Let me see your hands. All right, watch this. Go to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, if you'll notice in Numbers chapter 24, verse 1, it has the god Baal, Balaam. And this is a prophecy that goes all the way back to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, that says these words. I see him, but not now, talking about the Messiah. I perceive him, but he's not near. But look at what it says about the coming Messiah. A star will come out of Israel, out of Jacob. And a scepter, a kingdom, will arise out of Israel. And he will smash the forehead of Moab and strike down the Shethites. And Edom will become a possession, and Seir will become a possession of its enemies. But Israel will be triumphant. How many of you know that's a prophecy about the amazing ability of God to predict the future? Of there being a star coming out of Israel. Now here are magicians who are all professionals at studying prophecy. Here's Daniel that says the Persians and the Babylonians were specialists at studying prophecy and stars. Numbers 24 and 17 tells us one of those stories about a star coming. Watch this. Go to the next one. There it is. If you'll look to the right, you will see the prophet Baal. If you'll see his hand, he's pointing towards a star. This is about the 3rd century, 200 and something. He's pointing towards the star. There's a Virgin Mary there, and then there's 3 wise men. And it's talking about the prophecy of Baal. And many people believe that the 3 wise men heard and read Jewish literature, like Numbers 24 and 17, and they looked for the star, and that's how they found Jesus. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Go to the next one. There's the shepherd's field. 5 or 6 churches have been built over the top of it. Go to the next one. There's the Church of the Nativity, where Jesus was born, right there in that spot. There's been a church there since the early days, and there's been persecution there since the early days.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.